Being evil queen has never been so fun.
And I am willing to do anything.
We will soon be at war.
You will have to take a side.
War with the Protestants.
What fun.
Or war with the Catholics.
None of us are safe.
Feels good to be back.
The Serpent Queen on Channel 4. Stream now.
Think about cheese. Make your thoughts cheesier. Now add 100% chicken breast fillet, chipotle sauce and a mega cheese melt. And it's giving the new cheesy chicken stack at McDonald's. Did we mention it's cheesy?
Cheese!
Available until the 4th of Jan 2026 from 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Subject to availability.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Cannon Podcast, where a bunch of good time pals yuck it up, bust some chops, and make actual play podcasts of your favorite tabletop role-playing games. And that game that we're playing now is the Shadow Dark role-playing game. Here's what I need you to do. Here's what we want as our Christmas wish. Want you to rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Not or, and.
But that's so easy, Troy. It doesn't cost anything.
It's free! In fact, season of giving.
It might even be fun.
You might even enjoy it. Give it a try right now. We'll wait.
And it really is so satisfying because it truly is the gift that keeps on giving.
It truly is to us. It gives to us. It helps people come find this show. You can also subscribe on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/theglasscannon. Head over to jointhenation.com and subscribe to our subscription service if you want thousands of hours of content, new, exclusive, and ad-free. Check it out. And of course, follow us on Instagram at the Glass Cannon Network.
And to subscribe, you don't even have to like sell your comb or pocket watch chain or whatever that whole story is.
Gift of the Magi?
Gift of the Magi. Your Christmas gift of the Magi. You just hit subscribe.
Right. None of that O. Henry nonsense here. You just go like this.
Right.
Oop, maybe watch. This. They're really great. That's all you gotta do.
I really like them. Send a review, please.
What's Sydney wearing on her head?
Yeah.
Bandana, five stars.
How did she find a bandana? That matches her shirt exactly.
That is an interesting question.
Thank you.
What does your shirt say? Hell pays?
It says hell to pay.
Hell to pay.
Hell to pay. You'll have
hell there's to dice pay. On there,
and there's
too.
Dice, little flaming dice.
Look at that old demon. He kind of looks like he's from the last week's Monster Manual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that also, fun?
He's got a very prominent nude...
Package.
It's going to be an extension of the cover, right?
A sweet devil piece.
No, it's very smooth down there.
He's got like a Ken doll bulge. We like that.
We love a good Ken doll bulge.
Are we assuming he's wearing like devil pants or is he just...
I think he's...
Like, why the bulge if there's nothing...
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe he's wearing pants.
Okay, he does have like little shoes on. I think he's wearing like a onesie and I'm starting to think he's in a Halloween costume.
Oh, you're
he's
right.
Not a real, he's not a real demon. Demons don't wear costumes. No.
They could. Why not?
They could. They wear the flesh of men when they try to deceive us.
Oh, so I guess that's a...
Don't forget that.
The bulge of a man.
Yeah, I think, bulge I think of so. A man. Yeah.
It's another man's bulge?
It's yeah, another man's right. bulge.
Yep. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's bulge. Battle of the bulge. This is a fun word.
Bulge.
Bulge.
Bulge is a great one.
Do you ever stick something down there and say, hey, look at me? That's kind of fun.
What? No, actually.
What?
You know.
Like when you're a kid, you like walk around with like a giant stick. And no, because like, what are you guys looking at?
Anybody see Johnny Dangerously? You seen the movie Johnny
Dangerously?
Of course. Okay, so there's the scene where they show him like how dangerous it is to like not have sex or something.
and Griffin Dunn, and it's like, and they show up how your balls can grow really big. There's a whole like kind of educational film about it. And so me, I was in fifth grade, and me and my friend Eric Ibsen, we went to go see it, and we thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And so we came back home and we stuffed clothes like into our pants to make it like look like huge like that.
Good bit.
And we came downstairs to see it. My mom was waiting down there, and we were just like, oh, and my mom started like cracking up. She started laughing so hard, and she's like, wheezes, is like, never do this again. Never do this again.
Go to Home Depot, take a plunger, stick it in jogging pants, and be like, ah, need a bathroom.
Yeah. That's oh, fun. Yeah. That is fun.
You do that?
Yeah.
One year for Halloween, my cousin and I dressed up as old women. That was just our costume. And we wore
grannies.
Grannies. And we wore like running track suits and had like wigs on. We really played it up. We would pretend to fall on people's porches and need help and like desperately claw at the door.
I think that's a crime.
Yeah. But we would stuff the track suits.
You have good insurance.
Yeah. We would be like, I'll sue you. But we would stuff the track suits with those like mushy pillows that had like small tiny beads in them. Do you remember those from like the 2000s? They were like, we called them mushy pillows, but we used to form them into like big boobs and like big butts. And then we had the track suits on. So we just looked like, I don't know, like the Michelin man, I guess.
That's fun. Yeah.
I don't know what our point was, but I've done that.
Okay.
But never, never done the pants, I guess.
Pants. Yeah. Well, try it out.
I kind of want to now.
Yeah.
It's Christmas.
It is Christmas.
Here
it's
I
season
go.
For doing that.
Whatever. Yeah, that's a perfect thing. You could stick down there and be like, oh yeah. No, look at my boner.
Is that a knife?
How embarrassing.
Matthew, you never do this when the wife and kids are out of town?
You know?
Walk around the house like, oh, Matthew, look at my situation.
Every time I'm like, you know what I'm going to I have the night to myself. You know what I'm going to do?
Put some down my pants.
Inevitably.
Walk around looking in mirrors.
Look at,
whoa. What do you mean I'm not holding anything, Sergeant?
Yeah, that's fine. That's good.
Boy. Must be so fun to be alone with you.
Oh, God. World is your imagination oyster.
Yeah.
What's your shirt?
Critical fails are my cardio.
Oh.
This is a gift from my good friend, McD.
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
Cool.
That's so nice.
Yeah, awesome. I just, I wear so many different nerdy shirts and a lot of stuff that we make here at the Glass Cannon merch store.
Uh-huh.
And my wife never comments on any of them. She's kind of uninterested. And right. She was like, I like that shirt.
Oh,
it is a cool.
And, and she was like, I like the font, the vibe, like the retro vibe.
Yeah, it looks like a VHS case.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly a blank VHS.
Like something Olivia Newton-John would wear.
Yeah. I'm a big Olivia Newton-John J-A-W-N. Fan.
Yeah.
Really I have a special shirt.
Oh, hey.
Good question. Oh, what do you have, Skid?
Have
what are
shirt.
You wearing on
so
your
if you'll
chest?
Notice, for audio listeners, it's a House of the Dragon symbol.
I was going to say, it's Targaryen, yeah.
So this is our friend Andy Torbett, and the friend of the show, did stunt work for House of the Dragon. And
nice.
He always sends me, they give the stunt team these crew shirts. He always sends me his shirts.
Oh,
that's
so
sick.
He sent me his
shirt
Andor,
off his back.
Yeah, he sent me his Andor stunt team shirt a few months ago.
Oh,
and now
shit.
This is the House of Dragons.
That is
shirt.
So oh. Sick.
Yeah.
I thought you officially pledged to House Targaryen.
Yeah, that's right.
Bent the knee?
I did.
Nice. Well, I'm wearing a Glass Cannon Network shirt.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, what are you rocking?
I'm a company man.
It's a lich.
The lich.
Oh, all right. The Glass Cannon lich.
The Glass Cannon lich. Lich.
Yeah. It's the season of the lich.
Right. The season of the lich.
Lich
and you're wearing a dark navy button down.
Black.
I wanted to say black or dark navy. I'm going to stick with dark navy.
It's black, black though. It's black.
Okay. Joe, is your shirt black?
My shirt's black.
So Matthew's is a very dark.
A charcoal.
Perhaps a navy.
Yeah, I'd call it like a navy.
Right. Maybe a midnight.
It's simply
navy.
Not blue.
Okay. Gray.
Enjoy your dark gray shirt. During this quick break.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick second here in the break to thank one of our sponsors for this episode, Hims Hair Loss Solutions. Hims has been awesome for me, and there's a lot of different reasons I've told you that over many different episodes of this show. They've sponsored us a lot, which I'm super appreciative of. But what I don't talk about a whole lot is the convenience of the whole process and the whole situation. I am, as I'm sure many of you are, super, super busy between work and family and the house and activities. and community stuff. It all piles up to the point where like I don't take care of myself with simple things that I need to get done. My knee has been hurting for like a year and a half, and I need to go just make a doctor appointment, and I don't do it because I'm too busy. Hims offers the opportunity for convenient ways to access this kind of care online so that it doesn't have to mess up with your day-to-day schedule, and you can get back to just simply feeling like yourself again. Using Hims, you get access to prescription hair loss treatments with doctor-trusted ingredients that work, like finasteride and minoxidil. These are drugs that can stop hair loss and can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Honestly, you shouldn't have to go out of your way to get these kind of simple hair loss solutions. Hims takes care of it for you. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, visit Hims.com/GCN. That's Hims.com/GCN for your free online visit. Hims.com/GCN. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
From the darkest corners of our imagination comes a game show that's more ridiculous than terrifying. Welcome to Tickled to Death. I'm your host, Roz Hernandez, and I'll be guiding guests through the creepy questions and chaotic games, all to win the ultimate title of Horror Movie Champion. Listen to Tickled to Death wherever you get your podcasts, and hit follow unless you want the show to follow you.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
I want to thank our sponsors for this Shadow Dark campaign, Foundry Virtual Tabletop. Check them out at foundryvtt.com. $50, you get access to everything.
Virtual tabletop of champions.
Champs, right. Yes. And then, of course, Norse Foundry.
Of course, Norse Foundry. Code GCP20.
Code GCP20.
For the Naish.
All your random number generating.
Use GCP20 on their website.
Neat.
For 20% off anything.
Get your holiday gifts.
Basically everything, I think they said.
I mean, I rolled a six.
That's only going for one more week till December 18th. December 18th. Yeah.
Speaking of which, obviously we didn't have a show on Thanksgiving, but we're also not going to have a show. Thursday happens to fall on Christmas this year.
How do you not know?
I didn't know if it was Christmas Eve or Christmas. So we're not going to do a show on Christmas because nobody's going to watch.
Yeah.
So
the night of Christmas, spend it with your family.
Yeah, well, you get unplugged.
Would you stop?
No, unplug. No.
Watch an old episode again.
Okay. You could do that.
And write a nice review.
Continue to ignore your family.
Yeah, take a week to do those four things that I asked you at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Oh!
That was because Troy had such a spicy lunch. He was sweating.
I had my
pouring sweat.
I was just in my boxers by the end of it.
He was stripping off clothing as he was eating.
Oh, it
was
not God, so hot.
It was not warm in the studio, but he demanded the AC be turned on.
Yes. He literally went like this. He's like,
Like, he made a couple sounds like that. And then all of a sudden, he just goes, Francis, can we put the air conditioner on? Just blast it.
It's like
10 minutes.
It's like 40 degrees outside today. He's like, put the AC on.
Very hot. I just wanted Thai food today. And I was like, well, you know, I didn't even want Thai food. I was just like, I'm sick of that food in this neighborhood. It's changed so much since when we lived here. And so I was just like, what restaurants are in there? Don't give me the old man look.
The good old days.
It was a bit old Manny.
It was old man yells at Cloud over there.
Old man yells at Cloud. Used to be way better. Till the pandemic shut down businesses. And so I was like, let me just Google restaurants in the area. And a Thai place came up that had like 2,200 reviews, mostly five stars. I was like, let's fucking go. Red curry. Walked a mile and a half to get it. Came back here and it was very hot. And it came in a fucking quart container.
It looked amazing. Just
dumping rice and it was delicious. It
smelled really good.
Delicious. But I got sweaty. And now I feel really full. I laid down on the floor for a second and I regret doing that.
I saw you lay down and I was going to check in, but I couldn't tell if you were breathing or not.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking about stopping breathing, but just kept going. Can't control it.
Despite my best efforts.
Despite my best efforts, I kept
breathing.
I kept breathing. What do you guys got going on? You have any travel plans for December? Are you going anywhere to visit family?
No.
Not that I know of. No, I'm trying to not travel. We've done a lot of traveling this past year for tour.
Yeah.
I went to Europe. Mm-hmm. I'd like to...
I didn't know you went to Europe.
Yeah, I went to Edinburgh Fringe.
Oh, fun.
With Chaosium. It was really fun.
No, I did know that.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Did you forget that Edinburgh was Europe? Because I kind of did for a second.
I thought it was just like...
That's the UK.
West Virginia.
It's its own thing.
It was part of Europe.
Here we go. So no traveling.
I'd like to chill.
Yeah.
I'd like to chill. In New York in the winter.
Come on.
Come on. Ice skating.
The fucking city, though.
Oh. See, I was going to say, I love being in the city during the winter.
There's nowhere to put the snow. You just push it in the river?
It melts eventually.
It's not going to snow.
It's not going to snow?
You don't think so? You're calling it?
It's not snowing. It doesn't snow anymore here. Use the snow. It doesn't snow anymore.
Tell that to my shovel. We had a lot of snow last.
Well, up where you live. You live in the mountains.
I live 45 minutes north of
it. I know. It's a different climate.
It's really not.
It's funny that you make this argument now. But when we have to record and there's some snow on the ground, it's the complete opposite.
I can't make it.
It's much worse up here.
I am amazed though. Sometimes I'll have an appointment in the city in December and I'll like leave a blizzard and I get to the city and there's not a drop of snow on the ground.
It's not that crazy. It's because it's a port that's on the river and the ocean. So
it used to snow a ton and there'd be this just gigantic dirty iceberg all over sat for months. It would never melt. And it just stops, like a few years ago, it just stopped snowing. It's just no more snow.
Why though? I mean, the ground is warm. Well, I know because of the sun. Well, okay. Well, wait, there's a bigger reason.
No idea why.
You know who Al Gore is?
I know you're young, but have you ever heard of Al Gore?
I meant in the city. I was like, is it our infrastructure? You know, the ground is quite hot because of the subways and everything.
That also helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So you going anywhere?
I am. Yeah.
You're always going somewhere.
Ohio?
Oklahoma.
I mean, that's what I meant.
Ohio.
We do
Ohio.
Heading off to Ohio, huh?
Yeah. Another magical Christmas in Ohio. I want to thank you for taking an interest in my life. And
well, it's a great tourist destination.
Where my entire family's from.
The other O. Oklahoma.
Same difference.
Same.
Right?
No.
Yeah, no, I'm heading out to Oklahoma. Actually, a week from today, I'm going out to Oklahoma.
Wow.
From super early because it is... the airlines, they really get you. If you want to fly anywhere near Christmas, the rates are unaffordable.
They jack you.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to sneak out there early and just work out there for a while and then come back. Literally, I land in Newark at 10 p.m. on New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow.
Because it was like the cheapest flight.
Maybe I'll do that. Because I am actually going to Tennessee for the month, basically. So
you are going somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm always like back and forth.
It's good commutes to Tennessee.
That's my commute. Right. That's not a vacation.
He walks to the airport.
Yeah.
Gets on the plane.
Yeah. I walk. Just
as if it's a bus.
Yeah. I love it. I love walking.
Do you really walk to the airport?
Yeah. Yeah. That's whenever. So well, when I'm going to Tennessee, because I don't need like a rolling bag or anything. Yeah. Just in my backpack. Yeah. I'll just like get up. It's like 4 miles from me and I'll walk to LaGuardia. And I'll just walk there, just walk right in, go through security, get on the plane.
So cool.
I love it. That's it's the best. It's like a dream come true for me. I love it.
Now, let me ask you this. When you take, I'm switching gears here. I don't care what you're doing for Christmas. When you take a long walk, do you have headphones on or do you just sit with your thoughts?
I have headphones on usually. The other day, like, I microdosed some psychedelic mushrooms.
Oh.
And just walked to Citi Field, which I do basically five times
a week. You sure it was Citi Field and not just like parking lot?
I think.
It could have been Citizens Bank Park today.
Beautiful.
Just a couple homeless guys killing each other.
Yeah, I could have been. I don't know. But I'll do that and I'll like listen to Gershwin. And it was like a very beautiful way to experience New York City. It was very cool.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
You hear that, kids?
That's right.
Follow Uncle Skid's lessons, kids.
It's the mark of a true Mets fan.
Where are you going for the Feast of the Seven Fishes?
Sadly, I'm not doing the Seven Fishes. I love the Feast of the Seven Fishes, but my family hasn't done it forever.
Only time I ever wished I was Italian, because that just sounds like a good time.
It is a good time.
Otherwise, no thanks. Am I right, Skid?
I was never interested because I'm not a big fish person. So,
shocking.
Do they eat a lot of stuff besides fish, or is it fish?
It's seven different fishes
right,
that you debone and share with your family. No,
it's seven different fish dishes.
Where is it? Is that like a southern Italian tradition?
Is it southern town? I don't know. I just assume
I have no idea.
What,
I
don't know.
All sorts of stuff, though. It's not just fish.
Right. That's what I was wondering. Yeah, is there like stuff. All kinds of other stuff that, like,
there's usually antipasta. There's a cheese pasta. Less so on the cheesesteak.
All right.
Well, it seems like most of the Italian traditions that have survived in like North America are mostly like Southern Italian.
I am Southern Italian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that's like the vast majority of the people who immigrated from Italy were from Southern Italy.
Interesting.
The poors. Us poors.
Yeah, the poorest. That was the poorest part of Italy. So, yeah.
Do a bunch of people come over who aren't your uncle that you call uncle?
No.
They give you an envelope full of cash.
No, that was my wedding.
They'll kiss you on the cheek.
Kiss you on the cheek, slide an envelope in your...
And they're always married to someone named Marie.
No, we're going to Jersey, but I think it'll be a very small affair.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm sad about when I go to Oklahoma is I miss the Matthew and his wife always come over right before Christmas when I have Philly Christmas and we play games and stuff. So fun. Sydney came last year.
I was going to say, maybe we'll do it this year.
Yeah.
Without you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry. Joe made a stew last time.
Yeah. Really made a stew. Really we good. Played some games. Moonrakers.
Moonrakers.
Played late night Moonrakers. Matthew's wife was like, we were setting it up and she was like, I'm good. I'm just going to sit in the living room. Let me know when you want to go to Matthew.
She's at with your wife.
Yes, exactly.
Let me know when you want to go. That's fun. Well, I hope everybody watching gets some time to enjoy the holiday season. The greatest time of year. But we're going to enjoy our own little party today, deep within the gloaming, perhaps on another plane of existence.
Man.
Joe, give us the recap from last week.
I'm not a memory guy, Troy. Yeah. But
I have notes. Go ahead.
Sydney's the best at it, obviously, but we should all take tries. We should all take shots.
Take a stab.
Correct me where I'm wrong.
Wrong.
Okay. Pause for edit. We start in the Cave of Whimpering. And that is where we discovered that these two children seemingly were not illusions or a trap, but were potentially infected with lycanthropy. They described being taken by a beast from their home in the West and dragged to this cave, put behind bars, and that they haven't seen the beast since, but a woman continuously comes and feeds them, says she's their mother now, and they have this long scratch on their forearm, which led the smarter members of our party to believe this mother, quote-unquote, may be trying to infect them with lycanthropy. And so we briefly discussed murdering them, but then moved on quickly to how can we potentially...
Wait, did we talk about murdering them?
You sort of implied that you'd rather just kill them.
Okay.
Quiz number one. What are the names of the two children?
Oh, I know. Oh, the names of the two children are Barshinamit.
Very close.
Close. Yes,
not that far off.
And...
Barshinamit?
Oh, Marin.
Right.
So Marin's the older one, the sister, 11, circa 11 years old.
Nice.
Younger, Barnaby.
Nailed it.
Right. Bam. Just needed a minute.
If circa is the right word there.
Circa 11 years.
Around the
Born circa 487.
There we go.
And then we decided to take them to this fairy festival. So fairies invited us.
Yeah, I know you guys want to see your parents, but can we go to this quick fairy festival?
Yeah.
Can
we go to this party first?
And in an effort
to
not
Burning Man first.
And in an effort to not scare them about what was happening, Ellison, who is a father himself, we discover, though we don't know the deeper details, but we do know that Marin is of an age with his daughter, similar,
a little bit older
than his daughter, who we don't know much about. He told them that they might get sick and that we wanted to try to heal them, and we were going to take them to a place where a magical woman who is so beautiful and kind is going to help them. And so we tied them up, buried them alive.
No.
Oh, did we just talk about burying them alive and then didn't go through it? Okay.
Burying them
so
alive.
We tied
poured salt and cinnamon on them.
Yeah, poured salt and we hung them from a spit.
Spirits. Yeah.
Started to build a fire.
No, rubbed garlic into.
Right. So we brought them there, but we tied them up because seriously, the full moon was rising. And if they turned into
little woozy beasts,
yeah, we wanted to make sure that they were restrained. Ellison cast a sleep spell on them so that they slept, and we waited for the fairies to appear. But suddenly the whole landscape changed around us and we were transported to another plane of existence, potentially some sort of plane of the Fae. Mm-hmm. And it is a gluttonous feast of food and drink and wine and everything. And everything looks delicious and smells delicious. And everybody's like, eat, eat. Ellison and Pharaoh are seriously opposed to consuming anything because they believe there's a cost to taking anything from these people, and we don't know what that cost might be. Saint, however, dives right in, starts with the drink, and feels the drink moving all through him. Feels amazing and energetic from the experience. Then talks to like a marsupial creature who gives him a cake out of nowhere. Eats many cakes. It's like, this cake is the best cake I've ever had. Have I ever had cake? And then the play begins. They describe a play to entertain the goddess. The goddess appears, this large woman that takes up like the whole sky, her face just like laying over us right out of, Guinevere in Dark Souls?
Oh, yeah.
Guinevere? So this very large woman that's like laying on a bed and is looking over the feast, and this play begins. A guy without a head comes up and says, Act One. Test of
desire.
The right of desire. And we see a whole act done in sort of a Shakespearean tale of
a noble
in love with a
proper panto
woman. And that results in the noble's father finding the peasant woman and killing her, executing her.
Possibly for real.
Part is the special effects were so good, the characters us were like, was that real?
As opposed to the rest of it was kind of rudimentary in Troy's word. And then all of a sudden the violence looked very real.
Yeah. And then the stagehands came and like scuttled the body away. And then the headless person that announced the acts comes out, says Act Two,
The
Right of Power. And we just saw a straight up fight, like prize fight. Two guys with swords fight each other. One kills the other one. Matthew, you want to take it from here after the winner is announced?
And then the goddess fucked the winner.
Bam, he said it. The goddess fucked the winner right in front of us and then just strolled back up. It is really good
that the kids didn't make the show.
Yeah.
In retrospect.
That tree bark hippo or pig we talked to was
swinish
right.
Swinish fellow.
It was not for children. This party was not
allowed.
Yeah.
And then the headless MC, so to speak, came back out and said, and now it is time for the rite of truth.
And then,
magical spotlights
on us,
hit each of us. And that's where we ended the episode.
Love having you guys do the recap. Now roll for initiative.
Oh, shit.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
If I roll high, I'm going to walk away from the table.
So, you're going to use a cap to roll a cap.
Yes.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
Give us our caps.
No.
What'd you do?
I'm going first. Guaranteed. Not guaranteed.
Get your caps. Sorry, yeah. Sydney. As by rule, Sydney, if you can't reach the cap, it doesn't count. In 3, 2.
Okay. I got a 16.
14.
Balls.
Oh, I got a 4.
Oh.
7.
Oh.
Oh, you do go first, you dummy. You dummy.
I delay.
I'm going to kick back.
I delay.
That's good.
Oh, no.
Okay. Are you really delaying? You don't know what's happening.
Bunch of fey creatures come, grab you by the arms, and usher you to the stage.
He looks back like at his friends, like, oh, what am I doing here? This is the province of Pharaoh and Ellison so far. This kind of like smooth talking, like interacting with people.
You're the last person that should be in the situation first.
Yep.
But maybe that'll make him the most truthful.
Yeah.
As they pull you to the stage, spotlight follows you from your place in the crowd to the stage. And just as quickly as they bring you, they flutter away and you are left alone in this arena. Just looking around, not only at hundreds and hundreds of strange creatures, you can't even see your friends anymore, your new allies. But then the goddess herself, just watching next to you, as if it was there the entire time, is a small decorative table upon which sits four chalices. One of the chalices looks like a dark red liquid, perhaps blood. It's the first thing you think when you see it.
Oh no.
The other chalice looks as if it's full of ash. One has a substance within it that is so viscous and shiny, you can see your own reflection in it. And the fourth...
Skid. Don't please. Play that drop.
No, I'm not. Don't
play
do
the
that.
Drop.
I won't. I'm sorry.
The fourth is full of cum. No.
As soon as you said it, I just like washed my eyes. I looked over his skin.
Yep. I heard it.
One of the best inside jokes.
Oh, man.
I can't even explain. You did this to yourself.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's so funny. So, I just so knew sorry. Your brain.
So sorry.
We'll explain it on the bonus content. Yeah. The fourth chalice to your eye appears to be empty. And a voice from somewhere says, choose and drink.
He'll look down at the various cups and truth. What do they mean? Truth. He's going to, he'll reach for the empty cup.
Reach down for the empty cup. Feels light to the touch as you raise it toward yourself.
Looks inside of it. Smells?
No smell. Odorless, colorless. It just looks like they forgot to fill it.
And I'll pretend to drink from it, or at least try to.
As the cup touches your lips, a warm liquid goes down your throat. Just like Saint, it fills you up from the inside and makes you feel alive. You have chosen the chalice of the future. Tell us, what does your future look like?
I'll set the chalice back down. His hand is shaking. Looks back up at the goddess. My future is... I wish to bring those who would try to destroy the world to justice. Whoever it was...
This place is beautiful and should not be at risk of being destroyed by whoever did that. And so my future is to find whomever is guilty of this and make sure they pay. And I may never be named for it or known for it. I wish no glory for it. I just want the job done and to disappear.
They murmur. The crowd seems perhaps dissatisfied by your answer. And meanwhile, whatever was in that liquid starts to make you feel a certain way. Give me a wisdom roll.
Oh. How about constitution? For chicken's sake.
Should have drank the poison.
I really should have just done different ability scores.
Remember how many times you tried?
You did your best.
You did try many times.
I did my best.
You did the most variations.
Okay, here we go. I did my best. All right, come on, Norse Foundry. Back me up. This is a big one.
Battle caps.
Okay,
yeah. This one, I'm just going to turn that cap right back in that you gave me.
Okay.
Turning it right back in. Luck roll. Here we go. 18.
Ooh.
You feel this liquid is like entering your bloodstream, making you feel a certain way, making you feel not drunk, but sort of like you're losing control a little bit. But you're able to sort of fight through that and still feel like you're driving the car as you hear that same voice speak. It is not the chalice of dreams. Do not tell us what you hope will happen. Tell us what the future truly holds for you.
And he'll just freeze and look out at everyone and just say, death. Death is in my future. And not too far off either. Is that what you want to hear?
All we want is the truth.
Then death it is. That's the truth. Without the goddess's blessing, I don't have hope of lasting long. And I feel it will be violent. I feel it will be quick. That is what the future holds.
Very good. Someone comes. More little creatures grab you by your arms and shuffle you away. Doom. Spotlight. Continues on Pharaoh, and more creatures come, bring you down. Same thing. They disappear into the crowd, and you are left alone on stage. Three chalices now. One, this dark red liquid. One full of ash, perhaps. And one full of gum.
Okay.
Matthew's got the last pick.
Skid, you know what to pick.
I'm going.
It's like a mirror-like substance.
Okay. He's just sort of
panicking as he has feels like he has been for several days now. And he's going to throw caution to the wind, and he's going to take the ashes.
Okay.
And he's going to like lift it up. He's kind of like looking around. Can he see like the crowd at all?
You see like it's kind of like looking out into an audience. There's lights like coming at you. Yeah. So you see silhouettes of people that are backlit.
All right. So it's like take a sniff of the substance.
It smells better than it looks.
Okay. He's going to like just dip his like pinky finger in it and like taste it.
Goddess is just watching.
It tastes like ash.
No, it dissolves on your tongue and it tastes sweet.
Okay. So he like looks up at the goddess and like raises the goblet and pours it down his throat.
Pour it down your throat, and while it tastes sweet, it has the consistency of what it looks like. So it's this weird, like, it dissolves in your mouth and halfway down your throat, and you just feel this, like, airiness expand in your stomach.
Pop rocks.
I was just going to say the two
rocks.
Words.
Or like pixie
pop
sticks.
Rocks. Pop rocks. That's exactly what's in my...
You open your mouth and you hear...
Yeah, it's... Ah!
Give me a wisdom save.
It's so unpleasant.
Wisdom roll, I should say.
13.
You all watch as Pharaoh buckles to the floor, buckles to his knees, and you start like coughing. And as you cough, smoke comes out. Ah, you are not accustomed to our dram. You have chosen the chalice of the past. Tell us a dark truth from your past, and you feel compelled to do so.
Oh, man. Is it because he didn't make the wisdom that he's compelled? Wow.
Okay. This is... And despite, like, every cell in his body is... fighting against saying this, as he is like, when the soldiers came to my home, I watched them put the ones who resisted to the sword. They wanted us to join their grand army, not as soldiers, but as laborers, bearers, as slaves. I saw my brother throw himself at their leader. I saw him cut down, his hamstring sliced, his throat cut. I watched him bleed out as his eyes fixed on me, and I, when they came to me, they told me to spit on him, and the rest of it died. Or they would kill me the same way. And I did. I spit in his body. They laughed. And they took me. In the end, I was the only one.
As you reveal this dark truth, that same lightness, a of the substance itself that you imbibed starts to fill you as if a weight has been lifted, even though voicing it, acknowledging it, makes you feel sick.
Yeah.
You look down, and there's just little creatures that have emerged, grab you, pull you back. Little critters scurry, pull Saint to the stage before retreating into the shadows. Two chalices remain, one full of a red liquid and one full of a substance almost like, looks like mercury. You can see your undulating reflection in the cup.
I think Saint doesn't even look. And as he's being led there the whole time, his thoughts are, it doesn't matter what I choose. Doesn't matter what I say. And he reaches out and just grabs one of the cups, and it's the mercury one.
You drink it down, and it burns. Burns in your throat, unlike that first wine or whatever you had. This is hot as it goes down. Give me a wisdom roll.
Oh, 13.
Not unlike Pharaoh, you collapse to the ground. You feel like there is fire in your mouth. You start to lose your breath. You feel like you're hyperventilating, and now you're stressed out that you may be burning alive from the inside as all these little faces just watch you. Yes. Sometimes that one goes down hard. That is the chalice of self. Who are you really? And you feel compelled.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, thank God.
Oh, you chose correctly. Because you are no saint.
Oh.
And he like gets to one knee up and he stands back up. I'm a liar. And he's looking at the goddess. And he kind of looks like, can I say that? And he kind of puts a hand out. A liar. I'm a liar! I'm Laura. I'm Leoric. I'm Leoric Beckett. From Wenthra. I'm the only son of four children. I have three sisters. And he's like looking almost like, why is he saying this? Like he's just saying it. My father was a cobbler. My mother took care of the children. I left. Is that enough?
Feel a pain now burning in the pit of your stomach. Ooh. Must go deeper.
My father was asked to join, but couldn't because if he left, we would have no money. So I left, and I joined. I joined the army on his behalf. He's looking at the goddess, just waiting for her to, like, give a high sign that he can stop.
She's looking straight through you.
And I joined the Meridian League.
Mm-hmm. 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 repetitively, little critters come, pull you back into the darkness. Ellison is pulled onto the stage, where one chalice remains, full of a substance that can only be described as blood.
Give me the blood, Eli. And he his hand reaches for it and hesitates, and he looks up at the goddess, looks around the crowd that he can barely make out through the stage lights. Oh, like great lighting here in the plane of the Fae.
Yeah.
And he takes it, and he lifts it to his lips. He like it looks as if he's trying to steal himself, and then he downs it as fast as he possibly can.
I mean, it just, you have to kind of choke it down.
It tastes like blood, like that metallic.
It's got that coppery taste to it.
Oh.
Start to wonder if it is blood. Whose blood is this?
Oh.
What is going on? And it goes down, and it's not nice. Give me a wisdom roll.
Oh.
Why did you pick that one?
Why did you guys get kind of nice ones?
I was okay.
You got Pop Rocks.
Yeah.
Bottle cap?
Do you want to spend the cap on it? Yeah, all right.
Mmm.
Okay.
Nice catch.
Nice catch.
Not much better. 12.
You don't buckle to the floor like the last two. You also don't withstand this power like Warwick, but you feel like you're going to throw up. You feel sick to your stomach. And then you start to realize that you're sick not only from what you drank, but from what it is calling up in you. Oh, you didn't have much of a choice. It seems as if the chalice chose you, for you have drank from the chalice of secrets. What secrets do you have? And we'll be back right after.
What's going on, guys? I've got the distinct honor and pleasure this week of telling you that our episode sponsor is an awesome Weird West RPG. That's right. We're bringing you news about an RPG out there called Huckleberry RPG. And thank you to them so much for sponsoring this show. It means the world to us. And if you can help them by just checking this out, it makes a world of difference to all of us in this, you know, small community. So if you're into this kind of, what is a Weird West RPG? Well, you kind of play cowboys in this setting that's in a world doomed to calamity, right? There are these chaotic energies that are mysterious and ever-present, known as the Weird. And they pull monsters into this world, and you end up playing these Mavericks, they're called, which is basically the name for any kind of PC. There's so much flexibility in builds and how you can put your character together. And then you can go out and slay these monsters, try to save the world, try to figure out what happened out here, why it is the Weird. All of it is at your fingertips with this extremely narrative focused game. Huckleberry combines iconic Westerns like Tombstone, one of my all-time favorites, with the folkloric dread of like a Hellboy. And it creates this cinematic vibe that plays really fast-paced. I mean, you can learn the rules in 20 minutes. You can learn the rules in 20 minutes. And they also have a free quick draw edition that allows you to check the game out for free and even comes with a full-length scenario. But there's also more information you can find out there. So just go head over to huckleberryrpg.com and you can use code GCP5 to get $5 off. Go over to huckleberryrpg.com and use code GCP5 for $5 off. Thank you so much to Huckleberry for sponsoring the show, and we urge you guys to check out the game. Nash, if you are planning to deck the halls this holiday season with Glass Cannon merch, then listen up. The deadline to order and guarantee delivery by Christmas is racing toward us like a runaway reindeer. This Friday, December 12th, is the last day that you can order to guarantee delivery by Christmas. And you're definitely going to want to get that order in before the cutoff, because we have got brand new holiday merch that just dropped. I'm talking Planet Die Christmas ornament and a new Krampus tee. Perfect for that family member who loves their holiday season with a side of terrifying folklore. Plus, all the classic favorites, hoodies, mugs, dice, you name it. But to get any of it in time to wrap, you must order by Friday, December 12th. Miss the deadline, and you will face the cold, cruel realities of late shipping. So head to the Glass Cannon Network merch store, grab that new ornament, snag yourself a Krampus tee, load up on gifts, and hit checkout before this Friday, December 12th. Don't delay! Holiday glory awaits.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlotta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Maloof in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
The Regency era. You might know it as the time when Bridgerton takes place, or it's the time when Jane Austen wrote her books. The Regency era was also an explosive time of social change, sex scandals, and maybe the worst king in British history. Vulgar History's new season is all about the Regency era, the balls, the gowns, and all the scandal. Listen to Vulgar History Regency Era wherever you get podcasts.
This podcast is dedicated to my younger self because she really needed it. She couldn't keep a man or a job. Welcome to Brooklyn Therapy. I'm your host, Stephanie Macon.
I'm your co-host, Rose McAleese.
Every week we dive into dating, sex, and relationships. We are not professionals, but we bring professionals on the pod to give us some advice. Listen to Brooklyn Therapy wherever you love to listen to podcasts. Therapy is too expensive, but this podcast isn't.
Girl therapy. We're back. I just said during the break, it's just so interesting the way the chalices all worked out, the way initiative worked, and that you have to reveal this, and now you have drunk from the chalice of secrets. I said that this sickness comes not only from what you think you may have just drank, but from what you feel compelled to say in front of this crowd of strangers and friends.
And friends. Yeah, so he's like, it feels like I'm about to just vomit. Blah. And like the hairs on my arm are standing up on end. I get the chills. I'm sweating a little bit. And like, I think like I'm kind of hunched over a little bit, and that allows, I can see the faces of my friends in the crowd now, like just under, I'm just under the beam of light. I look at them all and I'm saying, I didn't choose to fight. When the army came, I had no choice. And he looks up at the goddess now. And says, my friends, they think I fought on their side as a part of the Grand Army of the Meridian League. I fought for the Odorous Pact.
Oh, shit.
You fucker.
Oh, shit.
Cut to Warwick somewhere in the crowd.
Yeah. Dude, just like starts to lean forward, but then thinks better of it because he doesn't want to get struck down. He has to wait to get back into the real world to murder.
Very, very good. Not unlike Pharaoh. Just admitting that relieves you of that nausea. Hands grab Pharaoh, Saint, and Warwick, and bring you all back onto stage to join Allison. You have done well as part of our performance, and the goddess wishes to give you each one boon. Though she believes two of those boons may be spoken for, as the children are in need of help. So, again, this is a disembodied voice. So.
And we don't recognize it at all.
No.
It's not like the voice of the pig guy.
Maybe it's the MC. It's not the pig guy. Okay. Just some other.
It doesn't sound like the pig guy.
The pig guy. He had his own thing. So, you may choose to give two of your boons to the children, and the goddess will help them with their curse. And then have two for two of you. Or you may each choose one boon and leave the children to their fate. On this, the night of the full moon. Choose.
I wish to give my boon to the children.
He can't even, like, look at Allison. He knows what he's going to do. Selfish asshole.
I give my boon to the children as well.
Oh, thank God.
I say we cut the boons in half.
No, wait!
After Ellison says that, Saint just, like, lifts a fist to fist bump Pharaoh.
I can't look. Pharaoh, like, he can't look at anyone either. Like, he's just, like, looking down. Won't raise his gaze at all.
And Saint steps forward, I guess. It's the voice is coming from nowhere, but he steps forward.
How about we stop saying Saint?
Saint
liar.
Saint steps forward.
Saint liar.
Saint liar.
Okay. Who's the patron saint of liars?
No. Saint steps forward and he says, I'd like a silver dagger.
There's laughter in the crowd. Oh, you do not get to choose the gift. It is bestowed upon you.
I was confused. Steps back.
The goddess will choose based on who you really are. She believes that you have given much to be here this evening. And though your road forward may be short or long, you will need all the help you can get. And you just feel this, like, power warm over you, and you feel like muscles rippling in your arm. You get a +1 bonus to ranged attacks.
Oh.
Permanently.
Oh, damn. That's Jesus pretty cool for you.
Jesus Christ. Eek.
Never mind. Never mind.
I'll take it.
I didn't know it was a permanent mechanical boon to a fucking attack.
Let those kids fend for themselves.
That'll be fine. Especially once
the full moon comes.
They're like, Canthropy will protect them, surely.
It'll be stronger than me, honestly.
Invulnerable to anything except silver.
And you, Pharaoh. You have had to face trials that no one should have to face. You have debased yourself and those you love. Perhaps in the future, you will think better with the goddess's protection. And you just feel like this power, this, like, shield has
come around your body. If you look at Pharaoh, you almost like have trouble seeing him for a moment, like he flutters in and out of your vision. Mechanically, all spells that target you have disadvantage.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Write that down and don't forget.
Oh my gosh.
All spells.
Oh,
even healing or something.
Actually, just hostile spells.
Oh, okay. All right.
That would have been awesome, though.
Oh, yeah.
All spells.
Actually, no.
This disembodied voice.
Actually, he's trying to heal himself.
Actually, wait, let me check.
Actually,
never mind. No, you're good.
You're good. You're nowhere.
Drinking.
And the lights start to dim, and the crowd envelops you as the night continues. The show has ended and the party continues. But you feel as if your time here is coming to an end. Where's everyone at, sort of mentally, in this? Because I imagine we just see you now all standing in this crowd of crazy creatures, lost in both what you've had to express in the rite of truth, but also what you've listened to and learned from your new traveling companions. Come in on Warwick here. Like, where is Warwick at?
Warwick has... he just has a lot of questions for people in this group, and is loath to begin that questioning here. So he's very silent. He's just sort of steaming, and for a lot of different reasons. Mainly, Ellison, being Ordos, his sworn enemy, and Pharaoh's story depicting his army of, you know, just horrific behavior. He's not too surprised that Saint is using a false name. Like, there's really not much there.
You weren't surprised that Saint Anthony was an alias?
Exactly. I feel like, yeah. I'll say more in the bonus content because it's just player stuff.
Yeah.
But as a character, you know, that's not too surprising. But then there's this added layer that Ellison gave up the boon. And Ellison's been nothing but like hugely helpful to everybody. So it's he's conflicted.
Yeah, you're the one. Yeah. You're really the only one that's like actually a patriot for the Meridian
exactly.
League. Like the rest of us,
he signed up. You know what I mean?
None of the rest of us are invested the same way as you are for that.
And he has seen so many close friends die at the hands of Ordos, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So to you, they're monsters.
Yeah, you really, like, have good reason to hate and distrust Ordos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the three of you, unlike Warwick, who was able to withstand the power and could speak freely, as it were, I'm picturing, if you've seen Garden State, when Zach Braff's at the party, and there's that, like, fast motion around him, and he's just kind of like a vessel.
After he takes the ecstasy?
Yeah, after he takes the ecstasy, he's just kind of like there. That's kind of what I think it feels like for you. Like, everything is just moving around you.
Waiting line.
The song is?
That's the song.
I kind of want to get into where your heads are at. Like, Pharaoh, what were you during all of this? Like,
I think he feels violated. He's forced to divulge this horrible thing that he's the source of his immense shame, forced in front of an audience of like his friends, like a friend that he's had for a little while, his new friends, all these like strange creatures. I mean, that feels very bad, but he's also like forced to kind of reckon with it at the same time. So it's more than anything, he's ashamed. He's deeply ashamed that now everyone knows this, and just the fact that he did it at all. Like, he's deeply ashamed of that.
It's probably one of those things you try to not even think about.
Yeah, try to, like, constantly trying to, like, push it out of you know, framework. And it's, which has been kind of easy because like we've been so focused on survival for so long. It's just like, it's helped him to kind of, you know, shift his attention elsewhere. But yeah, having it forced to the forefront that way was incredibly painful for him.
Yeah. Yeah. It like makes it feel real again. There's probably a party.
Yeah. I relived it. Like
disbelief. Maybe that didn't happen. Yeah. You know, you talked yourself into that, but having to admit it,
magically kind of forced to reveal it. It was just like, that made it, it's undeniably sort of true.
It's like this gift sounds nice, but it's being dwarfed by this fear.
Yeah, yeah. So it's that, and then real surprise about Ellison's revelation. And not really, and he's still trying to place where he knows Saint from. Like he knows that he's seen him somewhere. And so, yeah, this reveal is not incredibly surprising to me either.
Did his admission ring any bells for you?
I feel like maybe it should, but it hasn't yet. And yeah, but it seems to like maybe, and maybe the head injury like has something to do with this too, but it feels like maybe in some subconscious level, some dots are being connected, but he can't put his finger on it.
What about Saint?
I think in that like blurry sort of montage happening as we're like standing still, you blink and then Saint is like not there. And then it kind of, you know, pans over and we see that he is seated at one of these tables with all these people who are eating and drinking, and he's just drinking, just cups off the table, alcohol, just drinking. And mentally, he's angry. Like, he's just angry that he was made to do something. He lives his life a certain way, and he has full control over almost every situation he enters into. And if he knows he's not going to have full control, he doesn't get himself into that kind of situation. And he's been really good about it, and he's learned how to handle himself and carry himself. He's not embarrassed. He's not ashamed. He doesn't feel shame for anyone else's secrets that they told. He doesn't think less of Ellison. Like, it didn't hit him as these big revelations. He's just mad. And he's drinking. And I think at the back of his mind, too, he's a little worried. Like, the smallest space at the back of his mind, he's worried that this will create, like, fissures between every relationship that has been slowly built over these past few days, and everyone will leave. And he doesn't even want to admit that he's thinking about that, because why would he? It doesn't matter if they leave. He's on his own. He's like, he can be on his own. He's used to that. But there's this small worry and fear that's creeping in, that maybe he will be like abandoned.
Yeah, I guess that would be a fear playing at the back of my mind too. Anybody like, is this enough to drive us apart?
Yeah.
You know,
think about work, like, and Ellison, like, that's, he's,
we're all each other has right now. And it's like, yeah, could this be enough to,
well, what's interesting about your revelation is, you know, where Ellison drank from the cup of secrets, you drank from the cup of mirrors, and Ellison had to reveal something that he was hiding. You did as well, but really the cup of mirrors, it felt like it was about revealing your true self.
Yeah.
And the self that they've seen so far is this tough guy.
Yeah.
Saint. But the true self that emerged is, sounds like someone from very humble beginnings who had a very uninteresting family background and a regular old name.
Yeah, and he's seen his sisters. And his like mom and his dad, and he fights so hard not to think of them and to forget them and hope that they have forgotten him.
Yeah.
And during the war, just hope that they think he's dead.
And maybe he is. Saint has been reborn. What is going through Ellison's mind? Ellison, you've heard Warwick talk about his hatred of Ordos and that army and how he, you know, you've dodged
situations now over the past few days. Every time it comes up, like, yeah, they're the worst. You know? And now it's been laid bare. What's going through your head?
I don't think he feels any particular shame. Like, I think, you know, he was forcibly conscripted, and he thinks that that in itself was a violent act, and he is not particularly loyal to. And also, the way we've talked about this war, it wasn't like, oh, you know, a nation versus nation. It kind of was, you know, a neighbor versus neighbor war. So it's very, you know, and he got dragged, and both armies have done horrific things. So I think the shame he feels is about the acts he's had to do during the war, the killing and whatever else we haven't gotten to yet. I think what he mostly feels is fear. Like, the reason he's been not talking about it is because I'm not a strength character. I can't really fight. I can fight a little. I've got the spell casting to defend me, but really I'm at the mercy of, you know, if I were to run into those orcs and I couldn't get that sleep spell off, like, he'd be dead.
That's why, like, low-level spellcasters, like, they don't travel around by themselves. Like, they are reliant on others to help them survive until they get powerful enough.
And one of the reasons we linked up with Warwick and Saint is because, like, you know, we needed the third and fourth for the room, but also, like, he saw the opportunity to get, oh, we could get some muscle.
Right.
And now his muscle is... basically still considers him an enemy.
It's going to want to maybe want to kill you now. So
even though I think I firmly, like, more Ellison holds the belief very firmly that the war itself was wrong and the sides are meaningless, especially now that we've all been leveled. But that's not how Warwick feels.
And maybe just real quick, I don't know if you see Warwick or if you're close or whatever, but he, at a certain point, he just sort of silently walks over toward Saint and sits down heavy next to Saint, just like casts eyes over at you, just kind of looks at your goblet and nods, and just
Saint passes another goblet toward you, unspoken,
and just, like, grabs it and drinks. And then grabs a cake. It's just like, it was true, wasn't it?
What?
Death is coming. Quickly. I really did want a cake. And he just eats the cake. And he starts just grabbing food and, like, basically gorging himself almost like a last meal. He feels like he's going to die soon. And so he should enjoy this, because who cares? If it kills him, he's going to die anyway soon.
It's interesting. I imagine you watch him eating the cake and you think about this gremlin-like creature that you saw earlier in the night shoving cake into his mouth, and you start to wonder, like, are all these creatures symbolic of something else? Hmm. Was that gremlin perhaps a mortal that stumbled into the grove and found peace here, as opposed to returning? You watch. It's kind of like the pigs in Spirited Away.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Like, there's that moment where he starts to look like the gremlin, and the night wears on, and eventually the goddess closes her eyes, leans into her arms, and her head disappears. The body that's stretched out seemingly forever fades away, and the blue mist swirls. The mushrooms are there now, the trees, and then everything just sort of fades away. And like you blacked out or lost time, suddenly you just find yourselves back in the mushroom grove with just fat little mushrooms. Don't even come up to your shins. Day is breaking over the horizon. You can kind of see through the trees. And lying on the ground are Marin and Barnaby, sound asleep, with no mark on arm.
Salute the bodies.
They're dead.
They're dead.
No marks on their arms, but several on their neck.
I'll kneel down next to Marin's body and start untying her.
Yeah, I'll do the same to Barnaby.
Say, Marin.
Yeah.
And he looks over at Ellison, and he's just like, I can do it.
Oh, I had the strangest dream. I saw all these creatures. They were putting on a play, like the troops that would visit our village long before the war. They sang songs and I don't remember. Sometimes it was scary. Sometimes it was funny. I think all of you were there too.
Look at each other. Look at your arm.
Oh. Did that woman that you said was going to come and save us? Did she help us?
Yes,
she did.
It seems like she did.
Oh, she is good. Oh, Barnabas. Barnaby, whatever the fuck your name is. is your arm good? And he looks. He doesn't talk much.
Do you know where your village is? Could you guide us there?
We're not allowed outside of the walls. It's near the water. The water is to the northeast. So I guess our village is to the southwest of the water.
I know where it is, Ellison.
You do?
They told us a while ago in the town, and we looked at the map.
They told us it was just to the west, right?
We know it's by the water. We know it's by the lake.
It's just not close.
But it's around the other side, past yeah. Marin's Hold, which means we need to go that way anyway. Well, you're going to have to come with us. On your feet, both of you.
How many equipment slots do you have?
We don't have any. They're not very strong.
It's a minimum 10. Pick up the wolf pelts.
Yeah, carry the wolf pelts. We're going to go visit our cache.
Saint kind of steps away from the kids and motions for you three to come by him.
We're leaving the children?
No, just stand here for a second. The band.
Don't listen to us.
We got to go to the bathroom.
Shh. Would you just for a second?
Oh my.
What?
The bandits are near Wardenwood to the west. If we go back down through the south, through Marin's Hold, we'll run directly into them most likely. If we take the northern route, past the river, and come down, we might miss the bandit encampment, be able to get into Wardenwood. I don't think it's safe traveling with children through a bandit camp.
We're going to Marin's Hold.
Right, but if we go all the way back south and then to the west.
Right.
It's exactly where the bandits are supposedly camping out outside of Wardenwood.
We don't know how far the water goes to the west.
No. No, we don't.
So, and we're overladen as it is.
Yeah.
I agree. We need
can't
to
carry any more.
We can get back to Marin's Hold.
But we have no information on the merchant caravan. All this time, all this way. We have nothing to return to Martin with. No information, except that there's werebeasts in the wild.
I say we make our way back to the road and then travel along the road and see if we run into anyone who's heard of anything about merchant.
I agree. Right.
We can't travel with these children.
That's exactly what you just proposed.
We can't travel extra with these children.
So just take them to Marin's Hold and then decide what we do.
From Marin's Hold, we can either take them ourselves to Westwood or... Westwood? Did I make that up?
Westwood. Wardenwood.
Wardenwood. To the west of Wardenwood or find them transport.
Wait, I don't know why exactly we're going to sit here and we're going to start taking the opinions of an Ordo spy.
Spy for
Since
what?
When are you leading this group?
I'm not leading anything. As I recall, we all took a vote on this.
Yeah, well, I think your vote changes now.
Warwick.
He's an Ordos wizard. He's one of the ones who might done that. Tell me.
I didn't.
Look in my face and tell me you know nothing about any Ordos wizards working on any sort of plan to strike the army with such force that it would kill everyone in one blow.
You're so easily brainwashed.
Excuse
by what
me?
Your superiors tell you.
No, what I saw with my own eyes.
Look, please. We can't fight the war all over again. Please stop. Like, we all said things that we maybe didn't want to say. That's fine. That's out there, but let's just...
He lied, Pharaoh. He lied.
We've all lied, all right? We've all lied. We've lied to ourselves, lied to each other. Let's just... put this aside until we can get somewhere safe, and then you two can kill each other if you like.
But not around them. He nods his head here. Towards the kids. What? And not around me.
Why are you yelling? You sound like Daddy when he comes home from the tavern.
It's all right. We're just figuring out what to get you for Yuletide.
Are you going to throw chairs too?
No, we're...
Maybe we don't take
it.
Tempted, yeah. Maybe they stay in Marin's hold. I don't know.
It's safer out here.
I think there are children now.
I'm mother now.
You know who I think would like to care for them? Denzar Washington.
That's right.
He'd make a great father.
Wait. Who was our innkeeper that was really kind?
Oh, Featherwish. It was
Mindy Feathertongue.
Mindy Feathertongue. Mindy was nice.
All right, I'm saying we just, instead of going back down through the cave,
we just go
directly east, get on the road, and head straight down south.
And then we've hit a bit more north of where we've seen.
We hit a couple more hexes to see if we get any.
Keep in mind that if you're assuming Wardenwood is somewhere, you know, near that fork or in that general area, south. East of the water going around. Southwest of the water going around is that's a journey. That's a
are we
not a week, but it's pretty far.
Would it be a shorter journey for us to keep going the way we're going or to go back?
It's really tricky to backtrack. To say. Like,
it feels like
shortest six, journey to be across the water, but
feels like six in one if we go like west along the top of the water then down rather than going.
Oh, you know what? When you said that, I forgot. I thought you were assuming we're looking at this map.
We have
the
map.
We actually are looking at
this
map.
Yeah.
Right.
And he did point out that Wardenwood is like, he's like, I think it's in this area, but it's so crazy out there.
I mean, the other thing we could do is, so we could go back and go down along the road. We could also walk along the water here and just hug the lake. Though I guess crossing the river right over here would be difficult.
No, we can't go anywhere near the cave where the children...
Oh, yeah, we need to go around the cave.
Right, we have to go wide around the cave.
Yeah, let's go.
Or I guess I could be talked into this just walk west plan, but we have no idea what's out there.
No. Yeah.
Whereas the other way, we're backtracking. We have a good idea of what's there.
And we can buy more supplies.
We could always hit the ruined castle, too, and check to see if the merchant's there.
After we drop the kids.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Let's, and we do have some money now. Like, we found some treasure, so maybe we can get some.
Let's just go east. I think going due east and then down and hitting
taking the road.
Different hexes than we hit before. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So we pack up. We just, like, grab our...
We unearth our cash.
Yeah.
And
carry it.
And make them carry it. No, seriously, like, they can carry
stuff. What's the carry rules? You can carry as much as you want, but you just have to move slow.
We just have two more people.
The kids can't carry,
they can carry this a
stuff.
Wolf pelt.
They can't carry chainmail and great axes.
You can carry a wolf pelt. That.
Yeah, they could each carry one wolf pelt.
Okay.
You have children. You know how much they can carry.
Oh, and they don't complain at all about doing anything to help you at all.
I don't carry anything.
Oh, boy.
So heavy. You hold my jacket.
You almost went embarrassing. You're never going to help me.
I mean... The kids are going to be useless in that respect. Sure, they can carry a wolf pelt, but are you going to empty your cash? Go back to your cache and empty it?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah,
I mean, could we? What are the rules about like fashioning a litter? Just to do we move slowly?
We did it last
move more
time.
Slowly with a litter.
Yeah, you might move a little more slowly. Yeah.
And then let's do that. We don't want to leave this stuff behind.
Yeah, so we'll take the time then, build it, put the shit in it, and then we'll just drag it.
Okay, which hex are you moving into? In which direction?
Have we been to this hex?
No.
All right, then we'll go that one.
All right, so your plan is to go back to
the road and down to Marin's Hold.
Preferably hitting hexes along the road that we haven't.
Wait. Why go to that one when you could go one north where we haven't even seen more of? Like, we've seen that hex.
So that we don't see more.
I don't think we've seen this hex, have we?
No. Right next to it. It would be revealed if we knew what was there. So why don't we go one north in case the caravan stuff is slightly more north, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Here, okay. And then come back.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just taking the wide way around, Troy, from the cave.
Gotcha. So north.
We try to avoid the werewolf.
This is wildly irresponsible.
Yeah.
To be going into strange places with these two kids.
Yeah.
But I think we're avoiding the werewolf cave.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the way to justify it. It's like, we don't want to go anywhere. We want to give a wide berth.
Yeah,
Oh, no clues.
All right.
Okay.
We don't see anything. Okay.
While we're walking.
First half of the day you go through, yeah.
While we're walking, at a certain time when we can kind of peel off and be by ourselves for a moment.
Leave the kids in a strange territory.
No, just Warwick is going to walk up to Pharaoh as we're kind of like trudging through like on like a game trail through the forest. And he's just going to kind of like walk up beside you. He's got this huge shield in his right hand that's just, he's always carrying. And then his sword is in a sheath by his side. He walks up beside you and he says, "I'm sorry about what happened to your family."
"Thank you. It was the Meridian League army that did that."
"Yeah, I don't know the commander. I don't know if that's how they ordinarily do business."
"No, that's not how my unit did it."
Maybe it was a particularly cruel commander.
"You know his name? Did you ever hear it?"
"It was Mercer. His name was Mercer."
"I don't know the name."
"It's a lieutenant. Lieutenant Mercer."
"I haven't heard it before, but he was breaking. He was breaking the rules. I assure you that. And you did what you had to do. And I think that it's a good thing you survived. Because we wouldn't have made it this far without you, so. Survival is important."
"I appreciate you saying that. It's hard to believe that, though. When I see his face and I saw how brave he was, and to have met that bravery with my own cowardice, I can't lie, I'm glad to be alive, but I don't like what I'm left with."
"But I think what you call cowardice, I call strategy. I think that you knew you needed to live. If that army, if that lieutenant was to pay for it, someone had to hold them accountable. I'll keep an ear out for the name. Perhaps he survived all this. Maybe we can ask him again, face to face."
Aye, that would be one thing. That would. I'd like that. I'd like to see him again. That would make living this long worthwhile."
And then, yeah, we'll just keep walking.
Keep walking. Are you going to turn back now to the south?
Yeah, southeast.
Southeast.
Okay, so you end your day moving back onto the road. As you finish the evening and look for a proper place to make camp, you see a lone fire blazing just off the path.
Saint puts his dagger into his belt, pulls up his hood, looks at Warwick.
Anyone around the fire?
You see the fire, but the way the bushes and the brush are, you can't quite see a figure there.
Saint nods to Warwick, nods to Ellison.
You're sure?
Pharaoh.
Sometimes having a big person with you stops a fight before it starts.
I'll be all right.
So remember, we've got the children, though.
Yeah.
So be careful.
And he's gonna... Natural 20.
Oh, oh. Man, what a beast. What a beast.
Can't be stopped.
All right, natural 20. Changes what I was thinking.
Tell me everything.
You slide into the brush, quiet as a mouse, while the rest of you maybe back up off the path, away from...
Shield, and Ellison kind of shield the children, kind of push them back behind us.
I gotta go to the bathroom. Hold it for a minute.
Saint can hear them back there, yeah. And he's just like...
Just gonna have to hold it. You slide through the brush just to try and get close enough to see if there's anyone near this fire, and you see a lone man in like blackened full plate with like barbs coming off the plate, and he has a helm next to him. His back is to you. He has long hair. He's just sitting there alone. You see a huge sword next to him. And we'll see you next
time. Is it the Black Knight from Dark Souls?
Run.
Because he will kill you instantly.
Run.
Oh my wow. God, that's take such a sword. Cool image.
Take his sword.
That is such
take
a cool image.
Take his sword. Take his hat.
Steal everything.
Steal everything.
Terrifying. You've got children. Gross. Yeah.
The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, so every gift feels special and thoughtfully chosen. I've actually ordered from Uncommon Goods several times over the years. We found this gift for my sister-in-law, actually. It harkened back to something I got to do as a kid. It was this mystery. You get this box set, and it has a mystery within it, and then you get to the final image of the mystery, and sometimes it's the crime scene or something, and what it is then a jigsaw puzzle, and you make the puzzle and then you look at the image and it should have enough information in the image for you to solve the mystery. We just thought it was a great gift. It was fun and cozy and the perfect activity for a cold winter afternoon, and we found it at Uncommon Goods. The thing is that Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers and sports fans to foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. And like I said, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Every purchase is a chance to choose something remarkable and feel good about where your money goes. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. So far, they've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/canon. That's uncommongoods.com/canon, C-A-N-N-O-N, for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.